We're going to start with announcements. I first want to start by saying welcome home, welcome back. If you're a first-timer, welcome here, and we pray that very quickly in this group of incredible women you will feel like you have come home. It's exciting to see new faces and familiar faces. Look around you. If you see a new face, say hi. It may just have been that they've been in the study 20 years and you've never been in a small group together. That's okay. But they may be a new person too. So do what you do well, which is be friendly. We are going to have kind of a different morning this morning. So if you at any time during the morning want to get up and go to the ladies' room, it's right out there in that corner. Help yourself to coffee. Get up and move around if you want to, because we're going to be in this room the whole time. We're going to get some housekeeping details out of the way, and then we're going to start our morning. If you are not signed up on the website or signed up, then see Catherine and Shannon in the back. Catherine and Shannon, wave your little hands. I mean, Kristen. Well, you should be Catherine. You look like a Catherine. Vicki, didn't you almost name her Catherine? No. Kristen. Both right and left brains, and you can tell that mine's missing today. Kristen and Shannon. Shannon will be with us for a couple of weeks until she has that precious baby. And Kristen and I and the rest of the leadership team will muddle through, and that's exactly the right verb, without her. But see those two if you need to get signed up for a small group, or actually if you need anything, see those two in the back. We are going to put together small groups this week, so you should hear from your small group leader before we meet next week to give you a scoop on what room you're going to be in and who all's in the small group and all that kind of stuff. So be looking for an email or a phone call if you don't do computers. Next week, your first lesson will be due. Next week. And I think you all have is it a blue sheet with the schedule in front of you? Next week it's 1 Corinthians 1, 1 through 17. All right? So that's the schedule for next week. You can get the lesson on the website, www.lamplightersbiblestudy.com. Please type in Lamplighters Bible Study. If you type in Lamplighters, you will go to a tavern in Illinois. Okay? So we want you to get to the right thing. And then you can download from there. Some of you know we've been having a little trouble with the website. It's been a little wonky. We had to change hosts for our website. Some precious woman in Virginia, right, stayed up all night last night getting our website up and running. So it is going full blast today, fast. You ought to have no trouble downloading your lessons. They look like this for those of you who are new, with the text on the left and then three columns in the right that we're going to talk about in a minute. If you cannot download your lesson, do not worry, because inductive Bible study is meant to be done with your Bible and the Holy Spirit. So you don't need this, okay? Just read the text and come prepared to discuss it. As a matter of fact, I don't use this. I use just a piece of paper. So you can have it as a help, but you don't necessarily need it to do your lesson. There are a couple of things about this that are new this year. One is you will notice the translation is different. We have been using NIV, which is a phrase translation. This year we've switched to the ESV, the English Standard Version, which is the latest, most accurate word-for-word translation. It's a little bit harder to read. I know y'all are up to the challenge. Exercise our brains a little bit. It's okay. But it will doing that word-for-word does give us a deeper understanding, actually, of the text. So that's different. You will notice we've also designed it in response to what you kept telling us, is that you wanted a page for lecture notes, and you wanted a page for prayer requests. So those are in here. However, if you do not want to print that many pages, that's okay too. It's designed so that you can just print the pages you want. Like 1 through 3 is usually the lesson. So keep that in mind when you download those things. Okay. What else do I have up there? Oh, schedules and binder covers. You have the schedules. That's the pink thing. The binder covers, blue. Oh, blue. See, I'm telling you, you guys need to keep me straight today. This is your binder cover for you to slip into your notebook. the artwork. Yes, like Suzanne has. Please model. Oh, Suzanne, the queen of organization. Thank you. Lynn Adams' daughter actually did this artwork for us last year, so be sure and pick one of those up for you. Okay, today, if you are brand new, if you're brand new to Lamplighters, if you've never, ever done it before, okay, only brand new people, all of you who've been here before don't have to listen, we have a bookmark for brand new people, but only for brand new people. Is that clear? They're very expensive to print, so we did not print them again this year. But we have some in the back, Shannon or Kristen. Yeah. Oh, look at all the new people. Yay. Fabulous. You get to have an extra party favor. Yeah. Okay. What else are we doing up there? Oh, parking. Yeah. I'll explain parking to you. The preschool is having their graduated start today. And what that means is they come at 9, and the littlest ones stay until 10:30, and then the next littlest ones stay till 11. So those moms are most probably not leaving campus before 9:30. This affects us mostly today, but it will affect us a little bit next week. So if you see one of these new people, carpool with them or carpool with a friend. It's a great time to catch up on your way, and then it helps out in the parking. So that's it. This week we are going to do an overview, an intro overview, and some table talk. Now, ordinarily the teaching team would be doing parts of this, but our teaching team is scattered to the four winds. One of them was out of town getting someone to college when all of this was happening. Another one is out of town with her husband. Another one is out of town called to a funeral. Another one is getting ready to go out of town on a fabulous exotic trip. And so I'm the only act in town this week. All right? Normally you would not have to listen to me quite so much as you will today. So we're going to break it up a little bit so you will not get tired of hearing me. The last announcement we have is tomorrow there's a PW brunch here in this room from 10 to 12. Joy Durant is going to talk about her time at the UN this summer, which is very exciting, and also the Honorary Life Member honor is going to be bestowed. So if y'all have an opportunity, you might come to that. It will be here in this room. Okay, we will hold all other announcements until next week because we got a lot to cover today. But if you have an announcement for next week, please tell me so I can remember it for next week, right? All right, we should start with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we are back and that we have familiar faces and we have new faces and we have an opportunity in front of us to study Paul's letter to the Corinthians and apply it to our lives. Father, we pray that this will be a transforming study, not just in us, but through us, into our families, our churches, our workplaces, our schools, our neighborhoods, Austin, and the world. Help us to be good followers of Jesus Christ and to be open to what you have to teach us this year. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, that's where we're going today. You don't really need to pay attention to that. Okay, we're going to do an overview of the inductive Bible study. Now, for those of you who've done this before, pay attention anyway. You may actually learn something new. For those of you who've never done this before, it seems a little daunting at first, but you'll get the hang of it. It's just like any other muscle. You just got to exercise it a little bit. We do this study inductively. Almost every Bible study you do is based on the inductive method, and I'll explain that in a minute. We have a couple of essentials to remember as we start that, and one is remember that Bible study is not really about us. It really is all about God. It's about meeting Him, developing a relationship with Him, learning who He is, what He wants to do in our lives and through us. So it really is centered on, and it's about God. Please do not make this an assignment. I'm going to give you a lot of information. It's going to sound like a list you need to check off. If you get into the check-off mode, please just shut it down and back up and come at it again, because this really isn't an intellectual assignment that you get to complete with right answers. It is all about a relationship with God. Remember also that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. It's not me. It's not our teaching team. It's not your small group leader. It really is the Holy Spirit, and He will take us on an adventure together this year of discovery. I'm very excited about this study. Okay, we have some assumptions in the Reformed tradition that you need to know about, because those assumptions are underlying our Bible study. The assumption number one is that God speaks. The entire Bible is His speaking to His people. The second assumption is that God loves you. Everybody knows John 3:16. The third assumption is that God will speak to you, because communication is the key to any relationship, and it's the relationship that He wants. So He is going to speak to you. The trick is to listen. Okay? So let's talk about the inductive method a little bit. It's a tool. That's all it is. It's a tool. It's designed so that you can do it with your Bible on the airplane, or, you know, in the backyard or wherever you happen to be, just you and the Holy Spirit, and then we come together to discuss it. We ask three broad questions of the text, and we let the Scripture speak to us in those questions. So we have some practical helps of getting ready to do it. Find a quiet place to study so you're not distracted. I have the same place in my house that I go to study. And that is because I have met God so often in that chair that I have an expectation of meeting Him when I go there. It really helps me. Some people don't need to do that. Some people can study pretty much anywhere, but I like my one space. The second one is to pray. It really does help to pray. Occasionally you'll get into the lesson and it's not going well. You might just stop and back up and pray, because a lot of times I will launch into the lesson and forget to pray, and that really is necessary. Take the section and read it slowly. I say this every year, and every year most of you ignore me, and that's okay, but read it out loud. This is particularly important this year because we are studying letters, and the letters were written to a church, and they were meant to be read out loud to the church. And you will find in Corinthians that when you read it out loud and you hear it, you will see Paul's emotion, you will see sarcasm, you will see connections and themes that you will not read when you're just looking at the text. You will hear it. So I really encourage you to read it out loud. Rereading and praying is not a bad idea either. We ask you, when you sit down to do your lesson, to do your lesson first, and then if you have questions you want to do deeper study, then go to a commentary. But read it first and discuss it with your small group first, because you don't want to have somebody else's thoughts and opinions between you and the text when you first look at it. Okay? And I know some of you ignore me about that too. First column, that's this column right here. Observations. What does the text actually say? Literally, what does it say? This will be your longest section. You'll spend the most time in it. It's where you really get into the section, try to smell it and feel it, identify with somebody in it, ask those reporter questions, who, what, where, when, how, what in the world are they doing, what's happening, what's the setting, just so that you understand literally what the text is saying. We're going to practice this in a minute, okay? When I start that process, I assume that any thought that comes to me is from the Holy Spirit. And so I will write it down, because in time, it will become very clear to me which thoughts were from the Holy Spirit and which weren't, because He will develop them, or they will come back to me in another way, or they'll pop up in the lecture someplace. But I don't want to be distracted by the thought while I'm observing, so I'll write it down and I'll keep observing. Okay? When you've done the observing right, which if you do it correctly, if you spend enough time in the actual text, it makes the other two sections much easier. Try to summarize it in 10 words or less. There's a place for the summary at the bottom. And the reason I say 10 words is because if you can get it down to 10 words, that means you really understand what that section was about. we're not legalistic. Nobody's going around counting your words. But the thought is to summarize it so you really do understand what it's about. Okay, now we are going to practice. We're going to practice on 1 Corinthians 1, 1 through 3. And if you're really good and pay attention, you'll already have this done for next week. So you have already started on your lesson, right? I'm going to read this out loud. And then we're going to have some observations from you guys. So this is interactive. This is the part where you get to participate, okay? Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, what's an observation? What is that? It's from Paul. Good. And Sosthenes, whoever the heck he is. Okay. It's from Paul and Sosthenes. To the church in Corinth. Jesus figures largely in it. Good. Call to be saints together. Yeah, no lone rangers. Oh, no, that's an interpretation. Forget I said that. Call to be saints together. What else? To all believers. What is it? It's a letter. It's the greeting. It's an opening of a letter. Good. See, now y'all know how to do it, right? Yeah, we're like blank faces out there. Okay, let's practice something else. Interpretation, that's the second column that you will print out there. The aim there is to bring out the meaning of the passage both to the original audience and to us. And so this is the place where you look for aspects of God's character, scriptural truths, scriptural principles. You can ask questions here, you know, why? It's okay to ask questions and then leave them unanswered, because unanswered questions generally turn into a growth plate for you. And sometimes questions are answered for you over time. So that's a really good thing if you have questions there. That's really good. God is a God of surprises. You may be very surprised at what you come up with, and that's okay, because the word tends to challenge all of our long-held assumptions, and we are going to see that a lot in the study of Corinthians this year. Okay, we get to practice again. Same text. What's an interpretation? Why is he writing the letter? That's a good one. That's a question. Okay, good. Perfect. Who is Sosthenes? Excellent. What do we see about God in that passage? He calls us. Good. Jesus is Lord of all. He offers grace and peace. Members of the church are called to be different, to be sanctified, to be holy. And those are good questions. What does sanctified mean? What does holy mean? Those are good areas of exploration. Another thing to look for in this kind of interpretation is, what are the names of God that you see? Do you see a name of God up there?
Father.
Father. Right. Good. Good, good, good. Okay. The last section here on this column, which will be the application section, that'll be the smallest section you have. And if you've done one and two thoroughly, usually the third one is very obvious. Okay? It's, what does the text mean to you? The second one was, what does it mean to all Christians generally? The third one is, what does it mean to you? You usually have one, at most two, applications there. They involve a change. A change of thought or a change of behavior. And they need to be specific as to action and also time frame. Attainable and measurable. What change does God want me to make, and how am I going to do it? For example, if you are going through this and you come up with, you're convicted that you need to get in touch with somebody that you have not gotten in touch with in a long time. So you say, okay, I need to write a letter to Susie Q thanking her for what she meant to me in high school. That's a pretty good application, but it's too general. So think, I need to write a letter to Susie Q telling her what she meant to me in high school by this time next week. And there's a time frame on it so that you will know if you've done it. And then make yourself accountable to somebody. Your small group is a great place for this, because whatever you share in there is going to stay in there. But if you are accountable and transparent, that's when the growth and the transformation comes. And you may have a positive application, like an encouragement to continue doing something that you have been doing. We were sharing in leaders meeting yesterday, and I won't call any names, but there were several people who said that, you know, one of their growth plates was controlling their tongue, mostly with respect to their husbands, but it could be otherwise. Well, you may have an encouragement to continue being patient in a certain area. Like if you know something tough is coming up that week, you may have an encouragement to continue doing that. So the point is, what's the change and how do I make it? Okay, now we're going to practice. Personal, sensitive, blah, blah. Practice. Anybody see an application up there? It's a little hard because it's only three verses. And it's a pretty generic greeting. But there's enough specifics that you could get one. If you really pray about it. I'll tell you what mine was. But I want to hear if somebody else has one first. All be saints together. Yeah? Is there somebody you need to be together with? Yeah? Yeah, okay. More saint-like with. Okay, we won't ask you to name that person right here. But in your application, you could name that person. That's a really good one. Together with all those everywhere. So, Hat Tana. Seek God's peace every morning, every Bible study time. Okay? Mine was to extend grace to a neighbor. And I intend to do that by getting in touch with her and asking her to lunch. See how specific that is? So if I didn't tell you who the neighbor was. So if I call any of you for lunch, don't worry about that. Okay, so that's the basics. That's the heart of the inductive Bible study that we will be doing every week. Now, there is a fourth section in the lesson entitled Grace for Space. Space for Grace. Thank you. Y'all got to help me. Space for Grace. We remember the storytelling we did last year? Okay. I don't know if you guys remember the carping that went on at the first of the year about how difficult it was and how awkward it was and we don't know what we're doing and why are we having to tell stories about ourselves. Okay. By the end of the year, what I was hearing was, we can never stop doing this. I know this person better than I have ever known her before, and I've been in Bible study with her for 20 years. The depth of relationship that was formed by sharing our personal stories was worth the awkwardness and the effort to learn how to do it. So we don't want to give up that aspect of the Bible study. So this fourth section incorporates that. Now, last year you had a blank page. That was a little daunting. So what we were hearing was, could you give us a little more direction in that? And so that's what we've done this year in this fourth section, Space for Grace. You'll see it has the first little part of it picks up a theme out of the text for the week and supporting scriptures. The scriptures are, I can't believe I'm saying this, printed for you. Y'all know what I think about that. But what it does is it prevents you from just regurgitating what the scripture is. And it makes you look at how they're tied together and how that fits into your life. That's the reason for doing that. And then the second little part of it, the Space for Grace part of it, looks like this on the page. pretty blank page. It has three prompts on it. Pick one. Don't do all three. Pick one. And in actual fact, if you get to this part and the Holy Spirit says to you, this is what I want you to do for that space, then do that. You don't even have to do what's on here. Okay? For example, the first week would be, is there a story that God brings to mind where he called you to be set apart for him? Or, inspired by the Holy Spirit, produce a new work of creativity. Some of you would be really good at that. Explain in your own words what it means to be holy. Mine, given my application, would be to write that letter. Write that letter to the person that I was talking about. So that space is wide open for y'all. What we're hoping you do is you are able to connect your life stories to the text and tell them in that space. Okay, that's the inductive Bible study in a nutshell, and I'm sure most of you are just, your heads are reeling. Don't worry, you'll get it. Just read the text and come. That's the encouragement. It also helps, by the way, to pray at the end and thank God for what he has shown you and what he is doing in you. All right, that is enough of me. Now we're going to have some you. Around your tables, or you guys sitting in the back kind of get together, and you guys sitting over there kind of get together, and you don't really need a leader for this, but I want you to share a story of what is the most meaningful thing you've ever received in the mail. Okay? We're going to give you about 20 minutes for that, so you can get up and get coffee or go to the bathroom, but share around your table what has been the most meaningful thing you ever received in the mail. Okay? Got it.